Right.
They just have this dense, thick heel skin that curls over on each side.
Yeah.
Where like a human flip-flop.
You could hide a Q-tip from where the ankles, the calves go into the ankles. You could just tuck one in there and not even see it.
We were talking about that, too. That's the thing that you least have sympathy for is someone who's overweight. You know, I sympathize with people who have glandular problems, you know, but if you're just a fat fuck just gluttonizing all day.
If you're a fuck a fat chick.
Say that again?
If you're a fucked a fat chick.
I'm going to give you a second chance. Yeah, I'm sure I have. Sure, I blocked it out. It's been
you
a long
time. You know, actually it's a little bit like, hey, it's more chick. And it actually, you know, you get sweaty and greasy. It's like you're fucking more woman. And it, I kind of enjoyed it. It was different.
Do you feel more comfortable with your body, too? Because you're like, listen, bitch, you know you're fat.
You know, I didn't think of it that way. I was just, like. it was kind of like, oh, there's skin and boobs everywhere and ass everywhere.
Do you ever feel uncomfortable by your body?
I could fuck any one of these folds in her stomach.
Right. It was just weird. Like, I don't want to do it again, but it was definitely interesting.
Who was it that told us that only fucks with a shirt on? Was it Ari?
Probably Duncan.
I don't remember. Whatever. Point is, I guess if you were banging, I don't think it's alright. I think I'm incorrect. If you're banging, it might have been Louis C.K.
Oh, I can see that. No, well,
I think he actually has a bit on it. Actually, I'm pretty sure that's it. Yeah, I think Louis has a bit on it. You know, if you're fucking a fat chick, like you could like loosen up. You know, if you're banging like some super hot alpha female with perfect shape, you're like, why is she even letting me fuck her? This is ridiculous.
Right.
Like, I'm not even worthy. But if it's a fat girl, you're like, bitch, you know, this is as good as you can get.
That's funny. Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, and culturally, you know, there's some cultures that still.
There's a lot of dudes who like them fat.
They like them.
I have a friend who likes thick girls, and he always jokes about it. Sam Tripoli. Mm-hmm. He jokes about it. He likes them thick.
Yeah.
He likes them thick. He goes, I like a thick girl. Just like say it out loud. I like them big. I like a big ass. You know, and he's hilarious about it. That's what he likes, man. Yeah. That's his type of woman. Always has been.
Yeah.
And he's not faking it. That's what he likes.
Yeah, it's real.
You know, everybody's got their own thing. Mm-hmm. So that's a fucking a weird thing. Like when someone's got a little twist.
Yeah.
A little twist in what they're attracted to. I like a girl with a fucking, like a long foot. I don't want a big foot. I don't want a wide foot, but I like a girl with a long foot.
I have friends who will look at a girl's feet almost first.
Wow.
And they'll be like, oh, no, look at her feet. She's got like a size 10, you know, and they'll just be out. Oh. Like, what? I didn't
so the big feet,
that.
Big feet
are bad, or like weird toes.
I'm like that. I'm with weak chins and weak eyebrows.
If a girl has a weak chin?
Or a weak eyebrow.
Really small chins are disturbing.
Yeah, they disturb me. I don't like it.
There's something wrong with you genetically.
Right.
Like if you're really missing a chin.
Yeah, because it reminds me of like a frog or something.
It's odd. It's an oddity. Like why is your lower jaw so small?
Yeah.
Like do you not have to chew things? Right. Are you more evolved than me? Are you in the next stage where we're going to be eating liquid fruit?
Can you blow that out into a bubble and make a nice song from your mouth?
Yeah, what is that? Is that evolution? Are they more evolved than us?
I don't know. But what's up? And also, eyebrows. I don't know about you.
Eyebrows bug
me when chicks have like really like drawn on eyebrows or like just, you know, no eyebrow at all. It's just
that bugs you.
It bugs the fuck out.
Why do chicks trim their eyebrows? We don't give a fuck. No, they don't even know. If a girl has big bushy eyebrows, we don't give a fuck.
They just gotta take
doesn't
care
make
of
her
the,
less
just gotta
hot.
Take care of a little in the middle.
But girls with a unibrow. But you know what? If a girl's really hot and she's got a unibrow, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
I can tolerate a unibrow. Yeah. Totally. You just pretend she's some crazy Israeli bitch that just got out of the Secret Service over there. So
right,
she's over here spying on you, but she falls in love and you're banging her. Yeah. I don't think a unibrow would bother me at all, man. Hairy legs are a trip.
What
though.
About facial hair?
Like I dated a girl when I was really young who was she was going to an all-girls school. She was going to an all-girls college, and her friends wouldn't shave their legs.
Yeah,
they were like super feminist hippie chicks, and this just did not work out. The conversations that we had were... It was like they went to this completely all-girls school that was like super, like, you know, super ultra-liberal,
right.
Ultra-socialist ideals, and their view of the world was very strange, and they wouldn't shave. Why should women have to shave and men don't shave? I'm like, how about we both shave? How about that? I'll fucking shave for you. Okay? If the only way to get you to shave is that I have to shave, I'll fucking shave. Uh-huh. I don't mind having shaved legs. I think it's weird, but I'll do it if you'll do it. I can't fuck you, hobbit lady. You got hair on your feet, you know? That's just a trip, man.
Yeah.
Girls don't be having hair on your feet. Please, but stop that.
But that's been, I mean, this female shaving has been going on for thousands of years.
Right, but what is the reason for that? Is there an evolutionary reason? Why are we so much more attracted to less hair? And why is hair disgusting to us? Is it a hygiene thing? For pussy, right? It must be a hygiene thing, right? Like, you got all that crazy hair. I don't know. You don't even know what the fuck is in there.
Yeah.
You don't know what's clean.
Well, men are visual creatures, too, so it hides the... You know,
but some guys like hairy pussies.
Hairy pussies on the comeback. I mean, Harry Puss is very 2010. Sasha Gray and some of these girls, and they're rocking it. They got the bush, but they cut it off right at the top. You know, I mean, they don't go all the way through to the.
So
to
they
the
let
full,
a top bush, but they don't the let the butt bush. Hair, butthole bush go.
Yeah.
So what do? They wax around all that?
And wax just, or laser
just
around.
Just keep
it,
a landing patch.
Or tweezer.
No, but it's not
but
a landing
full,
patch.
No, but
yeah,
it's a full,
it's like
it's
a real,
full triangle.
Is that like a defiance thing? Like, I'm going to redefine my sexuality.
I think it's just that people get so accustomed to one thing that the new is hot. Probably it'll go in 10-year cycles.
Sasha Gray fascinates me. And one of the reasons why she fascinates me is because she's like the girl that like somehow or another is free of the porn and more into more like of mainstream people's, you know, people's thoughts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, she's not just thought of. She's like elevated. She's like left the just the total porn world, and she's permeated regular pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, and it's strange when something like that happens. Like, how does one do that? You know, there's always like, there's people that are like super successful at something like Lance Armstrong. Boom. There's the guy. He's the guy who rides the bike.
Yep.
You know, and Jenna Jameson. There's the super porn star. You know, she's the one. And then there's a few that get through, the Tracy Lords that get through, and then other people know about them.
Yeah.
You know, but Sasha Gray is one. She's a unique one.
She is. And it's interesting because she's on the very hardcore side of the business, too. I mean, she's no holds barred. I mean, she's whatever she's down with. And she kind of does it in a way where she's like, I want to explore all of the sides of sexuality, including the dark side. So she kind of has owned it. From the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think that's made it better. You don't feel like Sasha, you know, like, oh, poor Sasha. You're like, Sasha, you know, is doing what she wants to do, and she's doing it on camera. So that, I think, has helped her out a lot. And then, you know, she got a big break with that Steven Soderbergh's film.
I didn't see that. Did you see that?
Yeah, it was a little tough to watch the whole thing, but it was cool. I would have liked it. I would have liked it as a short movie. You know, like
you seem reluctant to say it sucked.
I do. Well, I know Sasha. I know you know some of these girls.
Well, she was an awesome actor, but look what you had to work with.
Well, it was a cool feeling, you know, but you can't drag that on for an hour and a half.
What's the cool feeling? What is the movie about?
It's kind of this very dark, kind of artistic, you know. Analysis of a call girl, you know, and how that interaction is, but it could have been done with one scene. Like you get the scene, you get the feeling, you get how this interaction goes.
So in the girlfriend experience, is she providing like an intimate call girl experience that it's like having a girlfriend? Is that what the premise is?
Exactly.
I saw like 2 minutes of it once on
That's
television.
Just about right.
Really?
But
it just
ten.
I saw
Maybe
the 2 minutes I saw was the last two. Yeah. She was like talking to this guy and hugging him, and then they cut to black. And I was like, what the fuck
is
going on?
It's just kind of a snippet that lasts a little bit too long.
That's a fucking strange thing, man. You ever have a buddy that's in love with a prostitute?
I've had guys fall in love with a stripper, like the T-Pain song.
I had a friend who was in love with a prostitute. He was a guy I used to play pool with.
Yeah.
Very nice guy, but he was unfortunate looking. And he did not do very well with the ladies. And he would go to this massage parlor and get jerked off by this one prostitute. And it was like one of those creepy massage parlors, you know, like it wasn't really a massage parlor. Like, you know, they like rub your back and then just go, what's up? Pull your dick out. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And he wanted to ask her out to dinner outside, and she wouldn't go out with him. And he was trying to figure out, like, he's asking me what I should do.
What the magic words were.
What should I do to get her to come out with me? I really would like to see her outside of the club.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, you're on your own, dude.
Yeah. I don't know.
So many
I don't know where the Rosetta
wrong.
Stone is that's going to translate that.
There's so many things wrong with what you're trying to do. I mean, yeah, okay, well, how? Okay, what happens then? You become boyfriend and girlfriend, and she agrees, listen, no more in the mouth, only hand jobs from now on. Like, do you guys, do you come to an agreement, or do you just accept the fact that this is what she does at work? That's work for her.
That's tough.
Strange, right?
Yeah.
It's strange that we're so it's so genetically attached. We're so genetically attached to controlling each other's sexuality. You know, you could have a wife that was a massage therapist, and she could be, yeah, she gives great deep tissue. She let her rub you, Bob. Mm-hmm. Oh, really? Your wife's gonna rub me? She's gonna rub me with oil all over my back, and am I gonna groan while she's rubbing me? Am I gonna go, oh yeah, oh so good? And you're gonna be cool with that?
Yeah,
it's okay because it's just rubbing your back. But if she rubs your dick and you make those same noises, I mean, basically she's doing the same thing. She's just massaging you, but it just feels way better. But it feels too good. Right. Too much. Too much. Yeah, you're going to get psychologically attached to her rubbing on your dick.
Yeah.
You can't do that. We draw the line.
It's a funny paradigm, and it's certainly always been one-sided. I mean,
I wouldn't even want a chick who does massages.
Yeah.
I'd feel creeped out.
Yeah, no,
get a bunch of my buddies come over and you massage them. Like, what?
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you had a chick that was doing massages and you were really into her, and then one of your buddies started getting massages from her? You're like, hey, bro, what the fuck? What are you
and
doing?
And they have a nice
There's like eight ladies that give massages.
A nice long hug when they see each other.
Yeah, thank you so much for the big tip. Oh, please, you're the best. Stop it. I'm not the best. You're the best. You kill me. I can't wait for the next one. When's our next one? When's our next one? When are we doing this again?
Yeah.
Oh, stop. Yeah. And you're like, hey, what the? Are you guys fucking? Like, what's going on over here?
Right.
God damn it. You're causing pleasure with your hands. And he's rubbing his ass cheeks. What's up?
Yeah.
What's up?
It's interesting.
And then you have those conversations like, would you tell me if Mark got a hard-on while you were massaging him? What are you saying? Stop it. God.
Yeah. There's a real distinction for me. I mean, and there's some people who won't let their girls get a massage.
You what?
Know, like I have, yeah, for sure. You know, I mean, they won't let him get a massage from another male masseuse, you know, and
that's some Taliban type shit.
But, you know, and then it just is a whole variety of different, you know, different levels of what people are comfortable with. You know, that's
well, I can see that. No dude's fucking seeing you naked and rubbing your legs.
Right, but yeah.
He's going to look at your pussy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it's an interesting paradigm. I mean, for me, I think I wouldn't. We have a, you know, me and my girl have a very, like, very open, honest, you know, relationship. And she.
Cue the music.
Yeah. we respect each other's ability to just, you know, want to go out and experience things. But
this segment of Chris Marcus's Pimp Pan is brought to you by the Fleshlight. Please continue.
But there's a real hard line between, like, like I could, you know, I'm totally cool with her getting a massage, and even in like some perfect circumstance where there was some eunuch, you know, who needed to manually get her off at some point, I think I would be cool with that. But well, you know, whatever, they don't exist anymore.
You'll be cool with, but they do. The castrati still exist. They still chop their balls off so they could sing.
But some
high.
Situation where it was very mechanical, she goes in for a service, he mechanically gets off. But at the point where it's like he's lusting and she's lusting there, that's where the fucking hard line is.
Boom.
You know,
boom,
like
boom boom.
Forget about it. At
no
that
lust.
Point.
Just physical.
Yeah.
No like lust.
Physical. It's for me, you know, I can make the connection. It's the same as rubbing the back, you know, or doing something like that.
It's the same as you going to the jerk off salon.
Right.
You just go there, just some girl just rubs your balls with hot oil and jerks you off, and that's it. It's nothing even going on. Just kind of feel
purely mechanical.
Thank you. Thanks. That was great. That was awesome. Yes. I got rid of that. Not like you go out and talk about your childhood.
Exactly.
And I don't even know my dad. Oh my God, I don't know my dad either.
That's where it gets.
Next thing you know, you're holding hands, laying in the field, looking up at the stars. Fuck all that, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's just bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no good. No dice.
Boom, 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 boom. The real question is going to be, what happens when we create artificial people and fuck them? And are people even going to bother with relationships? That's the real question. You are on the brink of this with this Fleshlight thing.
Because
now you guys are the first people that have created an effective artificial vagina.
Right.
All those other ones are bullshit. All those blow-up dolls, those are for bachelor party gag gift bags, all right? Those are silly. Nobody really fucks blow-up dolls. If you do, it's not good. You're better off jerking off. You might fuck one once, but they're not good.
Yep.
You guys have engineered a true artificial vagina.
Yep.
But this is just step one. Remember when TVs, when you go over your grandfather's house and the TV was this big giant ass fucking cabinet and the TV itself was only like 11 inches across,
right,
and you need this fucking monstrous piece of furniture with tubes. Big tubes and shit in the back and wires. And remember it would sometimes sparks would come out the back and you'd have to open up that, there was like a particle board back to it and you'd unscrew it and pull it back and look inside the bowels of this fucking beast. Now look at it. You can watch your little iPhone. It slips in your pocket, man. And it's way higher resolution. It's a much better experience watching a movie on your iPhone than it is one of those stupid TVs. Or an iPad. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
The iPad of the fake pussies coming.
Hopefully Fleshlight will be the ones to do it.
Do you think so? Are you guys working with genetic engineers? Are you on the cusp of nanotechnology?
Well, you know, I mean, all of that, that's kind of the golden goose. Like, the more realistic you can get it, interactive, you know, like fully. People have tried to do it, but no one's done it well yet. So obviously we're looking into it. I mean, things have to evolve. I mean, the Fleshlight.
Are you looking into robotics?
Yeah, well, to a certain degree.
Do you have
degree,
one eye degree, on
yeah,
robotics?
For
like,
sure.
Just at a distance?
Know, I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but we've certainly explored all those different things, even making it so that they could register your performance. So you could almost, you know, log in and see how your performance is compared to somebody else on your machine.
Like in quartz?
You know what you
like a video game.
How do you register?
Like high scores, like high score.
You are devaluing the personal experience. You're taking it too far, man. 2,000 strokes. Shouldn't it be like 3? This is you're not fucking a person who you're trying to make feel good. You're trying to shoot a load. You know, if I do this 10 times, I'm like, why is it taking so long?
You know what you should have? You should have like Fleshlight pants for gay guys that like there's like a thing like the end of the Fleshlight. So it goes on their assholes. When other guys fuck the other guy, it feels better. You know, like it feels like a pussy adapter for another guy's asshole.
How do you know that they don't like the feeling of guys' assholes?
I don't know. I'm just saying mix it up a little bit. They only have one tight...
Listen, dude is fucking you in the butt, he's fucking you in the butt, all right? This is, you can't have a filter for that.
You want to hear something rather disturbing is that actually happened, except the guy just put the Fleshlight straight in his butt from the bottom.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't see that, but our Fleshjack team informed me.
Okay,
that there was a video.
Was this? It was a video.
There was a video.
So the guy stuffed the Fleshlight up his butt, and then another guy fucked the Fleshlight. Would that make you gay?
Yes. Fish
I'm not sure.
Fish
I don't know about that.
Yes.
Listen,
dude, if you do fish in the butt, it's gay.
Listen, if you, but I'm saying if a guy fucks you, your Fleshlight. Okay, see, if you stuff a Fleshlight up your ass, that's gay.
Right.
But if the guy fucks your Fleshlight, is he gay?
Because it's not touching?
Is he gay?
Is that what you're saying?
He's just fucking a rubber vagina.
It's gay if you're somehow touching a guy getting off.
Okay, what if you don't touch him? What if you just assume, like, a high mount?
If the guy...
well,
you spread
simpler,
your legs apart. He keeps
simpler.
His legs closed.
Do you want me to say no for a reason?
Shut up! is he gay? What is it, queer? Is that queer?
That would be weird.
You know, one of our most popular selling units is called the stamina training unit, though.
I have one of those.
And really,
and explain this.
Well, the concept is basically that, you know, your hand doesn't feel anything like pussy, so it doesn't prepare you to have sex. You know, so there's a lot of anxiety, performance anxiety, people who don't last long enough, want to last longer. So, you know, we've been able to give them a product that's very, like, highly sensitive inner canal, so they can use it and get a little bit more prepared and sensitized. And people love it. Like, we get feedback like, man, thank you so much. You know, like, I've always had problems with this, but now I've gotten a lot better.
Yeah,
blah,
the first time
like,
you actually stick your dick inside a vagina.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, I remember the first time I had sex, I came in 1 second. I stuck it in. I pulled it out, and there was just loads everywhere. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. I barely made it.
You have no idea what that's going to feel like.
The first time I blew a load, I was in shock. I didn't even know that, you know, nobody told me shit, all right? None of my parents didn't tell me anything. And when I was, I guess I was like 14 or 15, my girlfriend blew me, and I busted one in her mouth, and my ears rang, and I was like, what the hell was that? Like, I couldn't believe that, like, stuff comes out of you, like, you could feel it come out of you, like, whoa, oh, that's what I've been building up to.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was even an orgasm thing.
I recall it being, like, a 30-second orgasm, though, the first one. Like,
incredible.
It lasted a ridiculous amount
of time. My fucking ears rang. The first time I came, my ears rang. They haven't rang since.
Wow.
Because I never gave myself a day off. Right? I've given myself like one day off since.
Yeah.
You know? No, I did one time for my website. No, it was like 30 days or something like that. I tried to do. But yeah, you never recapture. It's like they say with heroin addicts, the first time they shoot heroin, it's this insanely beautiful experience. And from then on, you're chasing the dragon.
Chasing the dragon, yeah.
Yeah, you know that expression. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is that? The first load you blow. It's like, as good as it gets, kids. Love it. Enjoy it.
But the experience is so rough that it's
terrible.
Not, I mean, you're just nervous. I remember the first time I'm trying to figure out how to use this condom, and I'm going into the bathroom, and I'm just like, it's not working right, and she's in the bed, and she's ready. And I was like, literally, like, face was hot, and I just came out and just gave up. I was like, I'm sorry. We got to come up with a different paradigm to make this happen. Like, you know, and eventually you figure it out and work. But that first time is fucking brutal. Tough. What do you think about these fighters that hold off for?
That's ridiculous. They're crazy. They're distracting the shit out of themselves.
Yeah, that seems like a really bad idea.
That's so silly. Yeah. I don't think there's no tests, no studies done ever that show a decrease in performance due to the fact that you're having sex. I think the distraction that you would get from not having sex would be way more problematic.
Yeah.
And that would fuck you up more. It would fuck up your train of thought. You wouldn't want to fight. You want to get some pussy. God, I got fucking laid. I've only gotten laid in 8 weeks when going through training camp. That's crazy.
But they seem to say that it builds aggression. You know, that they just want to fucking conquer.
I'm sure it does, but,
they
you
just,
know.
Just ready
how much aggression
to...
do you need, man? You're a fucking professional cage fighter already. Yeah. Chances are you're aggressive.
Yeah.
You know, it's you really there. Need to be more fucked up.
Yeah. I wonder if they have better ground game, though, because they always want to get on the ground.
I'll tell you who used to fight and who used to fuck right before he fight. Tyson.
Did he
that
really?
Should be the end of discussion.
Yeah,
I didn't abstain from sexual intercourse. It's a natural feeling for me. I just had to make sure I was relaxed before my big fights.
Those old Tyson training videos are beautiful.
The best was his early fights, man. Like Marvis Frazier. Mm-hmm. You ever watched the Marvis Frazier fight? That was assault.
Yeah.
He just ran up to that regular dude and beat the fuck out of him with his super alpha body.
Yeah.
That shit didn't even make any sense. He came out of nowhere and got everybody excited about fighting again. Yeah. For the longest time after Muhammad Ali, nobody gave a fuck about boxing. It's like the Larry Holmes era. Everybody's like, what? Larry Holmes is fighting Pinklin Thomas. Who gives a fuck?
Right.
I don't even know if they ever fought. But you know my point. It was like, you know, who gives a shit? Oh, Tony Tubbs. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And Michael Doakes, whatever, you know? Then all of a sudden, this crazy motherfucker moving 100 times faster than everybody else and just smashing people in the face at will.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we wanted to see. We didn't want to see
those fights were electric.
Close fights.
No.
Yeah, we wanted to see assaults.
Yeah, 2 minutes, it was worth it.
Not really, though. People get pissed off
sometimes.
They
were getting pissed off, yeah.
You have a bunch of friends over for pay-per-view, because nobody gives a fuck about the prelims in boxing. That's one of the beautiful things about the UFC.
Yeah.
You get a UFC card, you're not just getting the main event. You're getting a fuckload of other fights, and they're all well-matched, and they're all people you give a shit about.
Totally.
They're all exciting fights, especially the ones that actually make the air. So there's a bunch of shit to watch. So if the end fight is only like 15 seconds, you know, like Anderson Silva and you know, James Irvin or something, like, bam, it's over. You don't feel ripped off.
Right.
You feel like, well, we saw a lot of shit before we saw that, you know? Those Tyson fights, man. I'd have friends say to me, I didn't even buy it. The last one was 30 fucking seconds.
That's true.
Like, yeah, man, but that's kind of the point.
You had to see it. You know, it was an epic moment.
The one I missed was the one where he lost.
Yeah, I saw that.
Because I was like, who fucking, he's going to beat the shit out of this guy.
Buster.
I'm like, Buster Douglas was like 60-1 underdog or something crazy. Yeah,
crazy.
What was the under, he was something nutty, right? Wasn't like 30-1 or something?
Yeah. He got the.
And then I remember I watched the tape, and I was convinced while I was watching the tape that he was going to win. I'm like, Tyson's going to win this. I was like, I know he's going to win. I knew he got knocked out, but I was watching a fucking replay of it. And I was like, he's going to win this. I know he's going to come back. He's going to win this.
Yeah. It's no been way. A big fucking joke on
it
Joe Rogan.
It doesn't
Rogan
make
right
any
here.
Sense, man. He can't be losing. Tyson doesn't lose. It's important that when you're a kid to realize that there are human beings, that everyone's just a human being. Because there's a few people that just pass that human being mark in your brain. Mm-hmm. You know, like Mike Tyson or meeting some famous dude. I met Ace Frehley when I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, he was just this dude. You know, Ace Frehley was the lead guitarist of Kiss, for people who don't know. And my uncle used to work in an advertising agency. And we're in his office, and I'm hanging out with my uncle. And all of a sudden, this dude walks in, and it's Ace Frehley. And I was a huge Kiss fan. I didn't even have his makeup on. This is back when Kiss wore makeup. Like, you didn't know who they are. He's like, that's Ace Frehley. And I was like, what the fuck are you saying? Like, I couldn't believe the dude was right there. And as you get older, you go, oh, that's just another dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, same with, like, Kenny Loggins.
What's that, Brian?
Can you imagine? There's people like Kenny Loggins that people think that way about.
I met Kenny Loggins. Did you really? Pretty cool.
Did you dance with him?
He's the one who plays the flute, right? What does he play?
No, that's...
Oh, not Kenny Loggins. Kenny G.
Yeah,
Kenny Loggins. I met Kenny G.
Footloose.
I didn't meet Footloose. I met the flute dude. Does he play the flute? What does Kenny Loggins play?
Clarinet or something, Gary.
Is he the only dude to ever get that famous from playing that instrument? Right. He must be a bad motherfucker. Yeah. Kenny G's like the Lance Armstrong of the flute or whatever the fuck he plays.
Piper was pretty popular.
What does Kenny G play? Saxophone? Does he play the sax?
He does a little bit of sax. Or is that John Tesh?
I just have a
super white guy saxophone.
A like horrible chorus in my head.
Super white.
Yeah.
Super white guy clarinet.
Yeah. No.
Still I'm never going to dance again. That kind of shit. Yeah. There was Kenny G was giant for a while, man. And giant with anger. People would get angry at Kenny G music. You know, like dudes, like comics always use Kenny G was an awesome punchline if you wanted to shit on somebody. You know?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's the emasculation that he represented. Yeah. To a certain degree.
He represents dudes married to women they don't want to be married to, out on dates, having to go to a Kenny fucking G concert, and just sitting there in shit, in a world of shit. Yeah. When you can be with your friends at the bar, drinking and throwing darts and talking shit and watching sports and having fun. No. You're at a Kenny G concert, stupid, and you have a jacket on because she likes the way you look with jackets.
Yeah.
I like a sport jacket. That's it. And you got your fucking sport jacket on.
That's what raised the ire.
Yeah, you're eating shit.
Society.
That's it. That's the end of the show.
It was romantic, ending it with Kenny G.
before we go, Joe, I brought a gift for, for you and Brian here.
What do you got?
So, you know, people kind of overlook a lot of very legal and very cool substances that are available. And so I brought you guys some blue lotus oil. Now, as you know, lotus oil was historically prized from the land of the lotus eaters. Kind of gives you this euphoric, poppied feeling. And it's
that's
it's
why actually, it exists in a lot of Hindu artwork, the lotus flower.
So it's actually, you know, quite. It takes like a ton of lotus oil to make this one little vial here. This might be loud as I undo it. So
well, what is it?
So it's a little vial here. Let me open this up here.
Don't they extract like out of thousands and thousands and thousands of lotus?
It's a ton. It's an actual ton of petals to make this.
2,000 petals. 2,000 pounds of petals.
Yes.
To make that little vial that's in your
hands. To make a little vat. And then that's incredible. Like a little vat. So then they make this vial.
How large is two? Oh, you dropped it.
Yeah.
How large is 2,000? Look at this, folks.
So
how large is 2,000 petals? It must be immense.
Well, 2,000 pounds. Yeah, I mean
2,000 pounds.
Unbelievable.
Of petals.
So it makes like an ounce of the oil.
But what does it look like in a room? Like they're so light.
They are
2,000 petals.
Takes a fucking ton.
Look at this, folks.
So it's very prized. So I took that. I actually review it on my blog warriorpoet.us, and you can come check it out.
This.
And I took it, yeah.
And how do you know how much to take? You had a third of a vial?
I had about a half of a vial. It kind of comes out tough, so I gave it a stiff shake.
Is that what you this was full and then you
No, this is brand new.
This is brand new?
This is brand new.
So this is how it comes. It comes half full?
So I took maybe about half of that. I maybe took about half of that. And
it
was
pretty
rad.
What does
it do for you? You feel very euphoric, and you know, all your sensations feel good. And it's not overpowering, you know. It's not something that like takes you and hits you with a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
But when you say "I love you" to your girlfriend, you really mean it, you know. Like,
listen, I really mean it all the time, dude.
You know,
you
really mean it, but it's like you really feel it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel the emotion.
I really feel it all the time, dude.
But it's rad.
I'm not and like
had,
you, man. I don't have problems with women.
I had some crazy dreams. I dreamed I was like a. Never dreamed this, but I dreamed I was a vampire playing basketball, just throwing shots back. Like I'd steam out from underneath the basket and just reject some dude and Shaq dunk on him.
You thought you
like,
were a vampire
so
playing
like
basketball?
So it's like super relaxed.
Very relaxing, euphoric, like very kind of cathartic.
Did you feel like you could still function?
Oh,
like,
totally.
You know, like,
totally. It was very lucid and stuff.
Do you feel intoxicated at all? Or
not really. You just feel like in a badass mood. And it's almost like the stuff that troubles you, they go away. You know, kind of like about the lotus eater, the poppy eater.
Are you comfortable that your reaction time would be the same?
I am, yeah. I
mean, so you'd be able to drive and everything?
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't have that kind of artificial feeling that some of the other opiates and sedatives and stuff kind of do.
So right. What if you were allergic to lotus, though, and you're like, oh, shit, I just took just the most lotus ever.
Yeah, no shit. How do you even find out if you're allergic to lotus?
Right, that gay test. Yeah. Do you like Kenny G? Yeah, you can't take this shit.
Oh, that, and on that note, that's a perfect way to end this. Yeah, thank you very much, Chris. That was a lot of fun, dude. For thanks for coming out. Yeah, thanks for sponsoring the podcast with the Fleshlight. Go to Fleshlight.com.
And
pick one up. And like we said, Brian and I have both fucked them, and we give them two thumbs up.
Fucking love it.
It is way better than just jerking off. I have a new segment to that bit. My bit on the Fleshlight is growing very strong. On. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I will be at... What'd you do?
Sorry.
You killed it. Yeah. I will be... Yeah. There we go. Mm-hmm. I'm at the where is it? The Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana. That's my next gig. Oh, actually, no, I'm in London, but Brian doesn't have this up on the Ustream page.
Oh,
yeah. In the Ustream page. Change that shit so it says right. It. I'm in London at the Leicester Square Theater, but there's two shows Thursday and Friday of next week, but they're sold out already. Sorry, bitches. You snooze, you lose. And then the Galaxy Theater in Santa Ana, October 22nd. What are you playing? Are you going to play Def Antwood or
sure.
Die Antwood? That's my new favorite, man. The haters out there. Is this Die Antwood? Die Antwood. It's a South African band. And it means the answer. It's a dope band. You ever heard these guys? Do you know them?
No. I like it.
Oh, dude.
Dirty.
They got a bunch of good shit. And they got stupid tattoos, and they're ugly as fuck. I love them.
Beautiful.
I love it. Tomorrow, we'll have another podcast tomorrow, probably 2 to 3 p.m. Pacific with the lovely and talented Mr. Duncan Trussell, where we will discuss how the UFOs are coming and the government is preparing us. We've got some new important information, ladies and gentlemen. See that big rubber alien pussy? That shit is real. And we're going to tell you everything tomorrow. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the podcast. As always, we appreciate it very much, and we love you, bitches. Thank you.
Later. Out. Not a rapper out there who can touch me. If you